best remodels of 2008, according to Golf Digest magazine. And he joins us now. Kip, good morning to you. Happy New Year. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes.
Oh, thanks for having me, Russ. Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you as well.
Absolutely. And I know it's an even happier New Year now that you've been recognized for your work at Mayaku Lakes as one of the 10 best remodels of the year by Golf Digest, which is pretty much the premier publication in our business. Congratulations, first of all, but give me an idea for what this project entailed and how you came about getting the award.
Well, it was actually a longer process. It started about 6 or 7 years ago. We did some minor regrading to the golf course in tandem with putting a new irrigation system in back in 2001. It did some of the, like I said, the minor contouring. The major design changes actually happened last summer, regrassing. We added a completely new bunker style, which made it a much more visually appealing golf course, enlarged a lot of the greens, put some different contours into them. Just made it a more, if nothing else, a more visually appealing facility to play. The members have been very, very appreciative of what we've done. There's no doubt it was definitely a team effort out there. I mean, this is not something that I did by myself. We had a great contractor in QGS Development. We had a great shaper. The superintendent out there, Travis McCoy, has done a wonderful job on the grow in. So it's definitely a team effort.
Mayaku Lakes Country Club, of course, is out west, right between Belvedere and Okeechobee, out there in western part of West Palm Beach, part of the Breakers West area out there, just west of the Turnpike and Jog Road, and just been named as one of the 10 best remodels of the year for 2008. Now, Kip, in regards to this project, who was the original architect, and then how do you approach a redesign when you're not the original architect versus a project where perhaps you did do the original design and then that you've been brought back in to redesign the course?
Well, on the second of those two questions, I've only been in this business for about 10 or 12 years. I mean, I started with Gene Bates back in 1992, was with the Bates organization for 5 years before resigning and starting my own firm. So I've not actually had the opportunity to go back to any of the projects I've designed or redesigned because there's a length of time there. Mayaku, on that note, was actually built, I believe, in 72. It was a Nicholas Muirhead signature design golf course. Jack was involved to some extent in 2001 as far as helping oversee some of the minor regrading changes. He was not involved in 2007. But what he laid out there, what he and Mr. Muirhead laid out there, was a fantastic strategic golf course that, I don't know if you know, was actually ranked as high as, I believe, number 88 by Golf Digest of the top 100 golf courses in the country.
Wow.
Back, I guess, 20 years ago. But, you know, when you're building 400 and 500 new golf courses a year, it's hard to maintain that status.
And, sure.
You know, and weather and play takes its course, and you know, as I think Mr. Fazio mentioned in previous interview, you know, grasses wear down, irrigation wears down, and it is due for repair. And that's, you know, our goal here at Mayaku is to try to bring it back to that level. And you know, receiving this recognition from Golf Digest is a real step in that direction.
Kip Schulteis joining me here online, golf course architect based right here in South Florida, and his redesign of Mayaku Lakes Country Club in West Palm Beach just named one of the 10 best remodels of 2008 by Golf Digest magazine. You're listening to Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. Russ Evans with you. Kip, in regards to your own portfolio, you mentioned you used to be under Gene Bates. You moved out on your own 6-7 years ago. What other projects have you worked on, maybe nationwide as well as here right in our backyard in South Florida?
Well, I kind of got my niche going here, actually in South Florida. I don't. My last 2 or 3 years, I did with the Couples Bates organization, being Fred Couples and Gene Bates. You know, I did what most architects do. They literally live on an airplane. I mean, people ask me where I live, and I usually say Hartsfield or National because I was always passing through Atlanta. But you know, when I broke out on my own, which was in early 1997, it was in a period where golf was just booming. I mean, we were building so many new golf courses. And renovation at that time was kind of a sideshow. And for a young architect, you know, being 27, 28 years old and not really having a big established name in his business, that was the primary area to try to make a niche. And you know, knowing the economy and knowing that we'd been on this big development rise all through the 90s in the golf business, we probably should have turned down, you know, started that down in that valley, that economic cycle sooner than we did. But, you know, in the late 90s, along comes a guy named Tiger who kind of bubbles that thing and keeps that rise and that interest in golf going for another 4 or 5 or 6 years. And, you know, things have turned down now where the real heart and soul of the design business right now is the redesign field. You're probably looking at 60 or 70 new golf courses being built in the entire United States right now, and the primary work in design and construction is on redesign existing clubs.
Kip Schulteis joining me here online, golf course architect based right here in South Florida. Russ Evans with you, Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. Kip, in regards to golf courses, and in the previous interview with Jim Fazio, he mentioned that every project is different, depending primarily, obviously, on site and what you've got to work with as far as nature goes. But do you have maybe a list of basic philosophies that you like to see in every course? Like, in other words, do you try to incorporate certain types of holes in your 18-hole layout, whether it's a drivable par 4 or a par 5 that's reachable in two shots, or maybe a semi-island green somewhere on the course, or is that not something you think about?
You really don't. I mean, there's certain design guidelines and principles by which you design a golf course. I mean, you know, you don't want 5 par 4s all the same length, all going in the same direction because of how wind might impact it. You don't want, you know, direction of sun, wind, vegetation, all plays a point. You want a variety of 18 different holes, if at all possible. So, yeah, you're looking for that short and sporty par 4 that might be, you know, 310, 320, something like that, and you're going to look for the real big one at 450 off the back tees, per se. You know, you want a variety of maybe one, you know, par 5 where you can get there in two, and one that's maybe 620 yards, where it's a real test of three shots, because, you know, the days of the 530-yard par 5 being a real true par 5 are long gone with the way these guys hit the golf ball anymore. So, you know, there are, you know, in layout and routing, yes, there are certain principles and guidelines you follow mainly to maximize variety. You know, as far as specific details of the other part of the design, we all have our own philosophies on, let's say, drainage and how drainage sets up features or how bunker styles apply. I mean, I know I have, you know, Gene Bates was a Nicklaus disciple. We use a lot of Nicklaus's theories in our design, and I have kind of taken that on myself because I think Jack does a great tournament-ready or, you know, setup of a golf course. So a lot of those principles I've applied myself and then have developed some of my own strategies in bunker design and character and such and so forth. So, but, you know, a lot of what we do is learned by practice. I mean, there's no formal training to be a golf course architect. There's no school you can go to. It is definitely like old school where you learn as an apprentice under somebody. There's, like I said, there's nowhere you can go to just study this. You just have to do on-the-job training.
Well, that's a good point, because I was going to ask you what your schooling would entail, because I went to the University of Florida, and I was an architecture major and did that for 2 years down in Fort Lauderdale, mostly commercial work, and then I got into sports radio somehow along the way. But I had a lot of friends that were in landscape architecture, and I almost kind of wish now, you know, 10 years later, that I had gone that route, because perhaps I'd still be in the business. But is landscape architecture one way to get into being a golf course designer?
It's probably the most common degree you'll find with architects in the business. I mean, I'm just probably willing to guess you got 75 or 80% of the people that do design have LA degrees. I'm a little bit of an exception to that. I have a civil engineering degree from Purdue. It's a specialization in construction management. While I was working for the Couples Bates organization, I was going to night school at UM down in Miami for my MBA in finance. So I have 2 degrees you normally won't see necessarily in the golf course field, but they're very, very they actually come to play or very well utilized, particularly when it comes to, you know, presentations, dealing with members, dealing with lawyers. They appreciate the engineering background. They appreciate especially the finance background. I'm always amazed at how many people value the fact that I have an MBA in finance. I guess that gives them some self-assurity that I'm going to bring a project in on time and on budget. But, you know, it's not the normal background, but like I said, there are no exact avenues to this business. I think Pete Dye, for instance, was an insurance salesman.
Right, right.
You know, there's a whole bunch of different backgrounds, particularly the older guys. You know, before there's a large number of us now, but, you know, back in the day when there were 20, 30 architects, I mean, they didn't start out doing this. They started out doing something else. Probably were a player of the game and knew it well enough that somebody said, hey, you obviously can play this game well enough, maybe you can help me build one.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, old Tom Morris and Donald mm-hmm. Ross were both accomplished players and club makers. They made mm-hmm. clubs for the most part, and then both those guys got into a golf course design as well. Golf course architect Kip Schulteis joining me here on the line. He's based right here in South Florida, and his redesign of Mayaku Lakes Country Club in West Palm Beach just recently named one of the 10 best remodels of the year for 2008, according to Golf Digest magazine. You're listening to Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. Russ Evans with you. I want to go back a little bit to what we were just talking about a couple minutes ago in regards to course routing and types of holes on a golf course, because there, especially here in South Florida, in Palm Beach County, there's a couple of courses that have back-to-back par fives. West Palm Beach Golf Course right there off of 95 and Forest Hill comes to mind. And also Iron Horse has back-to-back par fives. I also played courses that end, you know, hole number 18 is a par three, which is very rare. So, you know, when you see that on a course, is there usually a good reason for like two back-to-back par fives or a par three ending the course? Or is it maybe just up to the whim of the designer?
You know, you rarely ever see that anymore. I mean, that's such an exception to the rule. I mean, you know, we've always been kind of taught that, you know, you don't put back-to-back par fives, you don't put back-to-back par threes, you don't end the golf course in a par three. And you're right, there's very few examples of that. There's a couple old courses in the coast of California, and, you know, it's hard for me to think of that have a 18th hole as a par three.
I know Congressional, you know, does, or it did.
Yeah, I was going to say Congressional. I was trying to think. I think Congressional does as well, yeah, but that's purely the exception. And you never know when the course was originally built, was there some land constraint that the owner, or maybe they were trying to build some development, or, you know, the architect, or there's some kind of something they couldn't do, and that was the only hole that fit there. Because you just generally don't see that in the modern day of golf course architecture.
Kip, last thing for you before I let you go. I know you're very involved with the Honda Classic, and as I am as well, of course.
Yeah.
And we're very thankful for the last couple of years, Ken Kennerly and his group coming in and basically putting a facelift on a tournament that had been a favorite for us South Floridians for a number of years. I grew up in South Florida. I remember going to the Honda Classic when it was at Eagle Trace back in the mid-'80s. I grew up in Coral Springs Parkland area, so for me it was just a five-minute car ride. But in recent years, it kind of fallen on down times. But the move over to PGA National has been really a resurgence for the tournament. You talk about Jack Nicklaus setting up tournament courses. There's very few better than the Champion Course at PGA National. What are your thoughts on the Honda Classic and now coming into year number three at its new venue in 09?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, all the kudos in the world to Ken Kennerly. I mean, he runs just a fantastic tournament. He does a great job. I mean, this tournament was always kind of the in-between tournament between maybe the, you know, Doral and Arnold Palmer's tournament up there in Orlando, and the Honda Classic was always just the other tournament, and he's really turned the focus around on that and made it one of the premier events down here in the East Coast. And that's Ken and his staff doing just a phenomenal job, and including, you know, a lot of local people, a lot of local charities. You're really getting the word out on how good this tournament really is. And I mean, it's and they're right, as you said. I mean, Jack sets up a fantastic golf course, and it's no doubt it's one of the true tests on the whole tour. When you look at all the different golf courses they play, I mean, there are very few golf courses that are more of a challenge for these guys than the Champ at PGA National. So, you know, I think it's a great event, and I think it's getting better. We hope that eventually, when Tiger moves down here permanently, maybe he'll come join us over there. But you know, all the big names are coming now, and it's, you know, we look forward to another great event in 2009.
Absolutely. It's trending upward. You had the phenomenal Monday four-way playoff that Mark Wilson ended up winning over Camilo Vajegas and Boo Weekly in 07, and then last year in 08, world-class player in Ernie Els is our champion. He, of course, will be defending in 2009, so I'm very much eagerly anticipating year number three at PGA National just about 2.5 months from now, and
yep.
I know you are as well, and I know a lot of the South Florida golf fans are as well. Kip, thanks so much for joining me again. Congratulations on a phenomenal award for you and your firm and everyone you work with. Mayaku Lakes Country Club right here in West Palm Beach. The redesign, as you mentioned, that took it was a long process of 5, 6, 7 years, but did become complete in 2008, and it was just listed as one of the 10 best remodels of the year by Golf Digest magazine. So again, congratulations to you. Happy New Year, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Russ. Appreciate it.
There he is, Kip Schulteis, one of the great and up-and-coming talents.